Beat Breakfast with Now.
Join the home of brilliant entertainment with shows, movies and sport on Now.
It's holiday. Turning up the speakers that we can celebrate.
Beat Breakfast.
We love Christmas.
Come on now. You need to ramp that up. You need to, that needs to be like a couple of times of Aaron Oil. Like, come on, please. That's my only wish this year. Like, okay. Come on.
I'll treat for you later with that, okay? I'll treat for you.
Oh, do you do a little mix?
Well,
oh, a little, like, oh, something for me. Oh, I'm looking forward to that. Excited.
Oh, God. Get us to Christmas quick, will you?
Come on. Where is your festive spirit? Like, you know the way we have, like, Friday giddiness?
Yeah.
It's a real thing.
It's every
like,
day now.
We're allowed to have that every day, okay? You've already eaten biscuits this morning.
You've had quite a few of the Foxy's
biscuits.
Two.
Yeah. I had two. How many did you have?
I've had one so far.
Really?
Yeah.
There's more than that missing. No, I think you've had two. I think you've been lying to yourself, and that's okay. Yeah, no, you've had two.
Anyway, we're fighting over the biscuits. It's Christmas!
Happy Christmas to you, and so many of you are finishing work today, and go on, you good things. Fair play to you.
In the morning. Beat Breakfast.
I tell you one thing, yesterday was a dirty day.
Dirty,
I don't want any
night.
More of those days between now and Christmas. Is it not conducive to be like, I didn't do anything because I couldn't do anything
in
that weather.
You went for chips though, didn't you?
I went for chips.
Yeah, you did go for chips.
Well, don't tell Tom, but Eve, a collector from gymnastics, and look, it's not a week for cooking, lads.
No,
you know what I mean?
No, too much to be done.
it's places to go, people to see. And she was like, Mom, can we get chips? And I said, okay. And we were going to go home and bring them home, and then we were going to go out to Tom, but actually we just sat in the car and we ate them, and it was one of the nicest meals I've ever had. Yeah. So we were just sat and the rain was falling out of the window.
Just
and we were
like, your chips.
Oh, yeah.
Was it just chips? Do you have a sausage?
Mini battered sausage. So just a little bite.
Are the battered sausages long in Wexford? Because you know the way different counties are, they're different lengths.
They're very long in my local paper. Yeah.
So we have long and we have little ones as well. And I actually prefer the little battered sausages.
She prefers a little battered sausage.
Shush. I prefer the little ones because the crispiness, the real crispy
moist
batter. Not moist, I would say crispier, Aoife, you know, crispy batter. Okay. Anyway, let's do a little bit of Beat the Intro.
Yes, okay, so Wednesday morning means Beat the Intro, and this week it's Show and Aoife going head to head. So it's five songs under a certain theme, and it's 2 points, 1 point for the artist, 1 point for the song title,
okay?
See what I mean?
Okay.
So I think you went first yesterday. Let's Show go first this morning, right?
Okay.
Let's see how you get on with this one. Your theme this morning is...
Oh, no wheel or anything. Just straight in.
No, we're straight into it. Is Christmas number twos, okay? That sounds like poo, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
But it's basically the songs that made number two at Christmas. They were almost a Christmas number one.
Okay.
So we're going to start. Here's your first song. And it was Christmas number two from, what year is it? 2009.
Okay.
Here we go. Listen up.
I can almost see it.
Miss.
Joe McElderry, The Climb.
Correct. Yes. 2 points on the board. Well done.
That was like the height of X Factor. It was like the perfect Christmas.
That was the decline of X Factor.
Well, you're right.
Remember
Rage
Against the Machine?
Yeah, that's why he was number two, not number one. But they did get the number one again a couple of years afterwards Sam Bailey and Matt Cardle and others.
Sorry, what I meant was the height of it. I meant
we were all glued to it.
It was a Saturday night. It was perfect takeaway.
Yeah, I got it. It's not the same film unless I do the reveal.
It's always gonna be another mountain. I'm always gonna wanna make it move. Always gonna be an uphill battle.
No,
we're on to song number two. This is an easy one, and we're going to 2013. Christmas number two.
I have to close my eyes. I know that means nothing to you, but if you're playing along at home, I actually feel like it's a system that really kind of works.
Yeah.
Okay, now you can play it.
Here's your song.
Okay.
Pharrell, Happy.
Yay!
Was you that number that two at Christmas?
Yeah, it got to number one in January, I think.
I associate that with summer.
No.
Doesn't seem like Christmassy.
I know.
Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I guess,
Okay, song number three. I think this is an all right one as well. And this was the Christmas number two in 2003.
The Darkness.
Yeah, I want the full title now of the song.
Christmas Time, Don't Let the Bells Ring. Don't Let the Bells Chime. Don't Let the Bells...
Keep going.
Christmas Time, Don't Let the... Christmas Time...
Don't let the bells...
Dong?
No, not dong.
Christmas time. Don't let the bells ring. Sing.
No.
Ding dong.
No.
Merrily on high.
No.
Christmas time. Don't let the bells... chime.
No.
I don't know.
Yeah, he wants the bells to do things. He loves the bells. Don't let the bells.
Stop.
Another word for stop. Begins with an E. Ends with a D and
don't
has
let
an
the
end
bells end.
Well done.
No, I don't give it to me. That's not fair. No jeopardy there. I didn't get it. Half a point.
Oh, well, you got 1 point then for the artist. Okay.
That was number two. So what was number one?
Well, yeah, 2003. I don't know off the top of my head.
Well, you're head of music. Sure. You've got plenty.
Wait a minute. 2003 was hardly. I never had a dream.
No. I'll come back to you on that. I'll give you an answer on that in a moment. Right, here's your stinker. Here's your stinker from 2019.
Aoife, you're a little good luck charm for me because I've done better with you than I have ever.
Right, they've been quite easy so far.
Oh, come on.
It's
give
Christmas
me a
time. I'm trying to be charitable here.
After pulling the short straw here, potentially.
Well, we'll see. No, I think I've done okay because I was conscious it was your first time. Right, this is your stinker. 2019, the Christmas number two.
It's 2019. What's that? 5 years ago.
Exactly.
It's like that Lad Bible thing or something.
No. It's two
Lad
massive.
Baby.
And it's two massive artists who came together. I don't think you're gonna
go again.
This.
Go
okay,
again.
One more time. Don't write you off.
Do you know what it's saying? What I keep thinking of? It's not like, because this is a really old song, but you know the song? I got a $50 bill, put your hands up.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Is it like Stormzy?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Stormzy and, I said it was two artists.
I don't know. Too early for Dave. Was it Dave?
No.
Who is it?
It's Stormzy and Ed Sheeran with Onus. You never hear it anymore though. That's why.
I wouldn't have gotten that from the intro at all. Yeah. I would have got a quarter of a point.
0.5 of a point for the Stormzy part. Right, we got one song left. Christmas number two from 2016. That's all you're getting because it's a big one.
Now, before I say who it is, because I know who it is.
Okay. Oh.
This guy has a cat called, is it Daphne?
I love that name for a cat.
I think it's Daphne. Yeah. It's Rag and Bone Man, it's human.
You're correct.
I'm only human. No, it's not Daphne.
Okay, well, I can answer your first question. The Christmas number one back in 2003 that kept the darkness off was that awful piece of misery, Mad World.
Oh, I love that shit. That was a one-hit wonder, was it? Mad
what was
World.
The movie Danny Darko or something?
Well remembered.
Bone Man, cat.
Doris, Daphne. What's her name? It's an unusual name. The thing about Rag and Bone Man is, like, this song burst onto the scene. I remember seeing him on, I think I saw him on Jules Holland, and I remember thinking, this guy is going to be absolutely massive. He had a little bit of a kind of
He's
quiet
had a bit
time.
Of a dip. He had the second album and the third album didn't
great
do
voice.
As well.
Yeah, incredible, like, power. What's his cat's name, though? The internet is not helping.
No, I'll come back to it after some Rosie and Bruno Mars, and we're going to see if Aoife can beat your score as well.
Woke up this morning. Wake up with your mates.
Nylon Show on Beat Breakfast.
So, Rag and Bone Man's cat is called Patricia.
A similar name to Daphne. Like, I was on the right vein. You know, Patricia, Daphne, those kind of names.
Right. Correlation.
Yeah.
You got 7.5 points.
That's
out of 10.
Now.
That's not bad.
It's not
good
bad
score.
For me. Jeez, what's that? 75%?
Yeah.
B.
Yeah. Okay, it's over to Aoife. And Aoife, I'm conscious it's your first time at Beat the Intro.
Okay,
welcome.
So, welcome. And I wanted to give you a decent theme that will give you a little bit of help along the way. Is that fair enough?
Absolutely, I'm here
for
you.
So, your theme this morning is animals. All of these song titles have an animal in the title.
Oh, that's deadly. Look at you pulling it out of the bag. End of the year, 18th of December, not resting on his laurels, continuing to be as creative as he could be.
Right, song number one.
Okay.
Oh,
well. Have it.
Okay.
Mumford & Sons, Little Lion Man.
Beautiful song.
Your fault but mine. And it was your heart on the line. Don't say it. I really messed it up this time.
What a classic. Yeah. 2 points on the board. Well done. Okay, I think this is another easy one. Song number two.
Oh, yeah.
She loves this. Show loves
if
this
If I
song.
Never heard this again.
Can we stop it now?
Yeah, go for it.
Tones and I, Dance Monkey. Dance for me, dance for me, dance for me.
I like it because I haven't heard it much in ages.
Actually,
but it was a bit overplayed at the time. Yeah,
I do not like it.
No, don't like it. Right, on to song number three. Animal in the title. What's this?
You're flying. Oh, I love it. Rubber band, it's horse outside.
Oh, she's on a roll.
You're flying. I'm a horse outside.
Christmas number one in Ireland.
I was going to say,
did you play this?
Yeah.
Did you?
It's the cleaner version.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay, song number four. We're going back a bit further on this. You're flying it. You've got 6 points on the board.
You know your animals and your songs.
It does. Here we go. No? Is it the one that stumped her? Two.
No.
No.
That's, oh, sorry.
Go on, show us.
Do you want to have a guess?
I only think I know the artist.
Go on.
Is it the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Nope.
No, Come Come M'lady, Come Come M'lady. Why is that song? It's not Chili Peppers.
No.
Come Come M'lady.
Is it Razor Light?
No.
You know the song? Come Come M'lady.
I thought it was Chili Peppers.
So did I.
No, it sounds like them. It's their sound. The band was Crazy Town and the song is Butterfly.
Come M'lady, come come M'lady.
Okay.
That was hard now.
Last song. I think you'll get this one. Another song with animal in the title. Let's have a listen.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
We got it. Florence and the Machine.
Yeah.
Dog days are over.
Yay.
So just by a tip, 8 points. By 0.5, you won this morning.
Oh,
yeah,
yes.
8 out of 10.
Well done, beautiful girl. I'm so proud of you.
There was one song I was hoping would be in it.
Oh.
She-Wolf.
Oh, yeah, could have included that.
That was a missed opportunity.
Could have had
Owl
City,
maybe
Fireflies.
Maybe it doesn't include mythical creatures.
There was no women in there. Wasn't there?
Tones and I.
Tones
and I. Definitely a woman.
That was it.
Definitely a woman.
That was it, but just one. Where was She-Wolf? I can't think of any other ones.
And Florence.
And Florence, sorry. Yeah.
Well, you could have had Nelly Furtado, I'm Like a Bird.
Oh, it's great.
I had quite a list, actually.
You could have What Does the Fox Say?
Yeah, well, you could have.
You could have had Crazy Frog.
Yeah, you could have, but we didn't. Eva, thanks so much.
Thanks, darling. Woke up this morning.
Wake up with your mates.
Niall and Show on Beat Breakfast.
Over the big issues here on Beat Breakfast. Show, where do you stand on the big light in the living room? Does it go on? Does it ever get switched on? In what circumstances?
It's quite interesting that you say this because I didn't really think about it until you said it to me, and then I went, no, the big light in the sitting room does not go on. The big light is only if I need to find something or if I'm going to bed. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
And you cannot put the big light on if Tom or other people are there, like, just willy nilly without warning.
Oh no, you'd never be sitting there in the big light, like watching Home Alone or whatever. Like the big light. So yesterday I fell asleep on the couch. Eve was upstairs, Tom was in the bedroom, and there was a knock at the window.
Okay.
Not even at the door, at the window. And I kind of went, what? And I looked out and Kathy was there. And they came into the house, Kathy and Tommy and Rose, and we sat there in the darkness. And I didn't even realise until they'd left that
you,
like,
only had the Christmas tree lights
Christmas
on.
Christmas tree lights on, and there was a light on in the kitchen, so there was a little bit of light coming in. But there's no way I was turning on the big light.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that, because if you have your big light on at home, you could be unwittingly causing distress to members of Generation Z.
That's you go. See, I'm very thoughtful. Go on.
Yeah. Social media is awash with young people saying that they hate the big light, the term they use for the overhead lighting in a room. And Gen Z argue that having lamps and dimmer lighting helps them feel more comfortable and cosy, while the big light makes them feel like they're in hospital. And there's loads of TikToks with millions of views talking about why the big light should be banned. It's a sterile look. It's like a hospital. You can't relax in it. It makes you really ugly. Overhead lighting is abusive. No one needs to see my face in this much detail. And others say the big light only should be used in case of an emergency.
Emergency, I would agree. It's like, you know, when you're in a pub or a club and at the end of the night, the big lights come on and you're like, ah!
Like, I have a lamp in the corner. It's beautiful, grand. And occasionally the bulb goes, right?
Yeah.
So it might be in the evening. I can't get to a shop. I don't have a spare bulb. So the big light has to go on.
Oh, God,
and
no, Niall. Get yourself
so
some
harsh.
Spare bulbs. Like,
it's so harsh.
What? You need to have spare bulbs.
I know, I'm useless for it. But yeah, it changes the whole complex of the room, the whole look, the whole feel. So yeah, big lights, no. Please stop it.
I didn't even realise that I was afraid of the big light. Mm. Like the big light is only for emergencies.
Yeah, absolutely. Woke up this morning. Woke up this morning.
this morning.
Wake up with your mates.
Niall and Show on Beat Breakfast.
This is Kelly Clarkson underneath the tree. Beat 102, 103, 13:09.
Couple of DMs. You're sliding into the DMs. No statement from Jacobs
as to their
afternoon tea, Christmas biscuit tin, and as to why there's no menu. I will come back to you and update you as soon as I have anything. What are you going to chase? You're
going to contact Jacobs? Press or customer care or anything.
Customer care. Yeah. I mean, I'm not complaining as such. It's just more of an expression of interest, shall we say. Why? What is the thought process? Is it the assumption that you're so famous, all your biscuits are so famous that one doesn't need to ask what they are? Give me that number. I'll ring them. I'll ring them in the break.
Head office. Ballymountain, Dublin.
I'm going to ring head office and I will find out more.
Okay.
That's it. Right. Okay. Talk to me about your...
I want to take you back to last Friday night, Saturday morning in the Christmas in the capital city. Oh, beautiful time. Lights everywhere. Everything
beautiful,
gorgeous.
Yeah. And it was a lovely morning as well when we woke up after the Christmas party. It was actually a really nice, fresh morning.
So just a very quick synopsis of the night. You've heard us talk about the Christmas party. It was a wonderful night. Met all the radio colleagues. I gave it a mini lash, but not a major lash, you know, that kind of way. And I wasn't feeling great. I had this dose coming on. So I partied as much as I could. And I was not too unreasonable in the time I got back to the hotel room at. Okay?
Yeah.
But I didn't really sleep because of this dose and noise. Loud radio people coming in at 3 o'clock in the morning in the corridor. I could hear them, right?
Just myself and John.
That's you and John, right? So I was like, right, I have a very strict rule when I go away for a night out. Show knows this. It's up and at them as early as you can. So I was the first to breakfast on Saturday morning. I was down there before 8 o'clock. It was chaos at breakfast, but that's a whole other show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd had a slight issue. I didn't want to hang around for my friends and colleagues to drive to Waterford. I just didn't want to make chat. I just wanted to get home. So I said I'd use public transport. And I first went to try the train, but the tickets were sold out. So I was like, okay, I'll get the bus.
Yeah.
I don't mind getting a coach. In fact, I snooze better on a coach because you don't have all those announcements they have on the train.
Yeah.
So I get onto the coach in Dublin city centre and it gets to the time of departure, and this is just the dream for someone who's had their Christmas party the night before and is tired and a little bit worse for wear. There was about 10 people on the bus.
Lovely.
All spaced out, and they were all calm, quiet people, and I just knew this was going to be a lovely journey.
Yeah.
This was going to be, you know, just calm,
flawless.
Cool, flawless, quiet, snooze. If you want to do some work, whatever you want to do.
Mm.
I had made one rookie mistake, which will be important later on in this story. I had not brought headphones, earbuds with me, but that was fine because all I planned to do was doss on my phone and snooze and just generally take in the sunshine at Christmas time. Off we dawdled through the streets of Dublin and we got to the next stop, which was the Red Cow roundabout, where normally one or two people might get on to continue their journey to Carlow or Waterford. But alas, as I pulled up at the Red Cow, I looked out. There was a lot of people at the bus stop.
Okay.
I'd say approximately 30.
Oh, God.
And about 25 of them were under the age of 14. They all had Santa hats on.
Oh.
And it turned out that they were a stage school. Stage school kids, okay?
Love it.
From a Dublin stage school, and they were on a day trip to Winterval.
Fab.
Not what I needed. So they crowded on, bustling, full of the joys of life and Christmas, surrounded me on the bus. Snotty kids.
No. Be careful now. Be very
careful. They were gorgeous kids.
And can I just say, they were visiting your beautiful city, which is obviously the European
city of Christmas.
Yeah. They were coming to visit you and your beautiful city.
My first thought was, would they not have got their own minibus? Would have been cheaper probably than all the individual tickets for the public transport. Anyway, on they get, they surround, they're buzzing, they're around, and we start down the motorway, and then it happens. Oh no. It's a sing song.
Yeah, go
it's
on.
A half nine sing song the morning after my Christmas party.
And they paid for their ticket and they're entitled to
They're
sing.
Not entitled to sing song on the bus. There was people who wanted to sleep, there was people who wanted to maybe do some work.
I'm sorry, normal rules don't apply at Christmas. So if those kids wanted to sit, they're stage kids, Niall, it's in them. They cannot contain themselves.
They could not contain themselves. They worked through all the Christmas classics the whole way to Waterford.
Love it.
We got some Gracie Abrams, that's so
beautiful.
True. Harmonies and all.
Ah, stop it.
Like somebody else might have enjoyed it. I didn't. went. And I tried all the tactics in my books.
Well,
I glared. I tutted loudly.
God, what a
I groaned. What? None of it worked. They just kept singing louder.
This is your own fault for getting up so early and getting an early bus. You could have stayed in that hotel bed till 11 o'clock. You could have slept. You could have slept through the stage.
I'm still a bit angry over it, to be honest.
Yeah,
it was just
tell.
Awful. It was awful.
Right, well, look, I believe that your tolerance level is quite low anyway.
It is.
Okay?
And I'm thinking of everybody else right now who has to, you know, take trains and buses and planes over the next few weeks and who they might encounter.
So basically, Niall is the one out of the two of us that would use public transport a lot. And we do a little thing on this show. You might not be familiar with it because we normally do it quite early, called blind drinking, right?
Yeah.
And so what I've done is I've come up with five scenarios for you to find out which would be the most, I suppose, tolerable group of people to be on a bus with. Okay.
And bearing in mind, my tolerance level is
on the floor. Okay, so whenever you're ready, he doesn't know
so
what's
I have
coming
to put
up.
These in order. I don't know what's coming up, and once I put them in order, they're locked in. I can't change my mind. So we're going to put the ones I could put up with the most at number one, and the ones I could put up with the least at number five.
Okay, so in at number one, go for it. So a little bit of a similar vibe to what you experienced on the bus on Saturday morning. This is a choir, a Welsh choir.
I used to be out in Dublin and there was a choir and they would come into the pub after their rehearsals and they all of a sudden you'd just be having a quiet drink with your friend and from nowhere would go, "The higher you met your barriers." And go like, "We're just having a drink, you don't have to do your choir performance here."
We're so different. I would be joining in, right? Where
look,
are you putting
I
the
love
choir?
Choirs and Christmas time beautiful. Yeah. Not on the bus though. So I'm gonna start at number three with the choir.
Oh, okay.
Okay, not on the bus.
In at number two. Go for it. A trad session on the bus. A bit of trad.
What? No. I saw this recently. It was at Supermax or something they took over. That would be worse than the choir, wouldn't it? The bear runs.
This is not my bus.
That would be worse. That would definitely be worse. That's number four. The trad group are in at number four.
God, controversial.
But I hope there's someone I can tolerate.
Okay, in at number three on the bus. This is... yeah, go for it. This is a hen party.
Oh, no, no. Oh, the worst.
They're going wild. They've got their hats. They've got their straws. They've got their inflatables.
The
and
train is
life.
The worst for the hen parties.
Where are you putting the hens?
They're going to have to go to number five, aren't they?
All right.
They're the worst.
Not on your
they're
head,
absolute
be it.
The
they're
worst.
Not the worst. They're loving life. You know.
No,
what I mean?
I'm happy for them. It's just for everybody else, they're the worst.
Okay, number four.
We have two left. I've only my number one and number two that I'm most tolerant of. Mm-hmm. Here's our fourth option.
This is the tin whistle. Up the fla. Just let it play. Up the fla, everybody.
I've made some errors here.
Tin whistle's a hard instrument to...
it sure is.
What's the word I'm looking for? It's a hard instrument to... What's
absorb.
The word? No, yeah. It's...
To
pick up. What's the word I'm looking for? The tin whistle is hard to master.
Master.
Thank you. You've made a massive mistake.
Yeah, I mean, that should be number five. I'm going to have to put it at number two on my list of blind rankings, the tin whistle group on the bus.
What you've left to last and is now...
number one is the thing I'm most tolerant of.
The most tolerant of on a bus trip from anywhere to anywhere. This is what Niall would like the most in the world on a bus. Go for it. The football lads.
The football, actually... I'd be all right with the football lads.
It's the lads cheering. Woo!
1-0 to the Arsenal. 1-0 to the Arsenal. Yeah, football lads definitely better than tin whistlers, choirs, trad groups, or hen parties.
Okay, give me your top five.
Okay, in lowest, least tolerance, hen party on the bus at number five, the trad group at number four, the choir at number three, the tin whistlers at number two, error, they should be lower, and the football hooligans. All right. They're number one on my list as the people I could most tolerate on the bus from Dublin to Waterford the morning after the Christmas party. Did we miss any groups?
Can you test
me any further on this? 0851029103.
So funny, like I'd be happy with any of them, you know. Even the football lads, like get in there, sure. Me in the Mini World Cup Wexford, you know. get up, I got
you in the morning. Beat breakfast. Hey, Rachel.
Good morning.
Welcome to Christmas week.
Happy Christmas.
Poor Rachel. Do you want to say what happened to you this morning? Just be like full transparency. Because I've never been there. But
it's the first time in my life it's ever happened. I slept it out.
You slept in?
Yeah.
It was 6:21 and I waken up and I start work 9 minutes later.
Oh, you poor pet.
Did the alarm go off and you hit it, do you think?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Tom
yeah.
slags me like so much for the fact that I set 10 alarms.
I am normally that person. I normally set like 5:31, 5:30, 5:30.
Yeah, that's me.
But last night, I was working all day yesterday, and last night I was like, oh look, one alarm will do me.
Oh, that's risky.
Silly mistake.
Risky.
I made it.
You like a bit of jeopardy, do you, Rachel? You're playing with fire.
I made it in time for the 7 o'clock news.
You did, so. And you're here for this. How are you after the Christmas party?
I'm great. I also took the little lotions and shampoos.
Did you? Did you take the no pay at Manhattan Pay?
I didn't. I left those for Jesse.
Okay.
Yeah, but
they were nice though, weren't they?
I did take the shower gel and the shampoo. I left the shower cap for Jesse. We kind of shared between us.
See? Niall thinks I'm crazy, like, because I do this all
the time. I didn't even notice the shower cap in the room, to be honest.
There was two in the bathroom.
Yeah,
they had a little collection of, like, your shower.
I did that thing though, right? The stupid thing. I just thought when I was jumping into the shower that the gels and shampoos would be in the shower like they normally are.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm in the shower and then I look and it was quite a distance to them over on the shelf. So
that's a sign of a fancy hotel when they give you the minis and it's not just the big pump in the shower.
It's not attached, so you can't steal it. I have to say as well, I did have a bath.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, well, I was saying to you, you'd be lucky to have a bath. And then I got up there and, jeez, the size of the bath. There was a bath over there and a shower over there.
I felt like we had a suite.
Did you have a bath when you went home?
I did.
That's very risky.
No,
risky
it's not.
Behaviour.
No.
I kept saying to her, you can't be doing that now. You can't be going home getting in the bath after a night out.
Why not?
Because, I don't know, you might be tired. You'd been up since 4:30. What if you fell asleep in the bath? Well, I'm only worrying about you.
Do you know how pathetic I am? I made a cup of tea.
Got one of the biscuits the bath.
I also made myself a little cup of tea.
Oh, yeah. You can take the girls out of the country and get into the capital, but that's that. Right, do you know how the deck works?
No, and I'm kind of scared.
Well, I explained to you, it is like family fortunes. Okay. That's the best way to describe it. Yeah. Don't be scared.
It's those kind of questions. And basically, I'm going to give you a question and you've got 30 seconds to come up with there's loads of answers to it. So come up with as many as you can, write them down.
Okay.
And then after 30 seconds, we'll see. Now, show always has some contentious answers. So we have to debate it afterwards as to whether we'll accept them or not. So today, what I want to know from you girls is, I want you to name a job or profession that involves getting wet. Okay, you're going to get wet. Now, I'm not talking about just, occasionally, it rained. Like, people who, their job entails actually getting wet. So if you're working, obviously, with water, seaside swimming pool, you know, that's one. Also, I suppose there's a trade where you might get wet. Possibly emergency services. A job or profession that involves getting wet. 2-1 and God, stop writing.
That's hard. That was a stinker, as they say, for a Monday morning. Did you find that hard, Rachel?
Yeah.
Okay, give us a count there. What do you think you have?
How many did you get, darling?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'd say I could get 10.
Oh my God, you did very well. Well, you've won then. Go on.
Okay. Right.
Okay.
A swimmer,
professional.
I had
swimmer.
That.
Okay.
Yes, you could be an Olympian.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you, girl.
A swimming teacher.
Yes,
yeah.
A lifeguard.
Yeah, good one.
A deep sea diver.
Deep sea diver, yeah, we'll take that.
You went for all the aqua jobs.
Yeah. So working out all the aqua jobs. Okay. Go on, keep going.
You could be a fireman.
Yep, firefighter would do it.
I'm a professional rower, like in the Olympics.
Do they get wet? A good rower doesn't get wet, I don't think. But look, we'll give you that.
And the last one I have written down is a water engineer.
What does a water engineer do?
I don't know, but one of the fellas on Love Island was one a few years ago.
It's an engineer who deals with water.
Somebody works for Ishgair, and I suppose.
Yeah, and like pipes and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you could have just said plumber, but, you know, a water engineer sounds very posh.
And now I'll give you a plumber.
No, you can't add on. No, too late. No. You've won anyway, darling.
Well, that was 7, okay.
I had a lot of what you have, but I also had, did you say surfer? Professional surfer.
I don't think you said surfer.
So I'll add surfer to that. A pipe fitter, because you're dealing with a lot of water and leaky pipes.
Kind
burst
of plumber,
pipes.
But yeah.
Water engineer.
No. Pipe fitter.
Yeah, kind of water engineer.
A pipe fitter is a very different role to a water engineer or a plumber. A separate job altogether. A road worker. You're on the road and you are digging up the road and some kind of burst pipe, leaky pipe could come into a lot of contact with water. I'll move on.
Okay.
A car park attendant.
Car park. Now, yeah. Hang on.
What is the name? What was the title of this? This
question.
Whatever we call this. Yeah.
Name a job or profession that involves getting wet.
Absolutely. Car park attendant. And if we can get Killian Doyle on this morning, he used to be a car park attendant, and he said the amount of times you'd be standing in the lashings of rain. So a car park.
Sure,
attendant.
That could be anyone who works outdoors.
And finally, my last answer: a taxi driver, because I was getting a taxi. Yeah, I was getting a taxi recently. And it was lashing rain in Dublin, right?
Yeah.
I was getting out, I was doing my course, my big course in Dublin. And the poor fella getting out of that car and the torrential
what
rain.
What was he doing getting out of the car?
Getting my case out of. And they are unsung heroes. And they are people that work in the what's the question?
But then you could say that anyone that works,
anyone
that has
that
a job.
Steps outside during their work.
Oh, you could say... Well, I have gotten
reports. She's a journalist.
I'm a journalist.
I should have put you on the list.
Thank you.
That was a missed opportunity for me. I did not think quickly enough for that. But I certainly think car park attendant and taxi driver are people that come into contact with water more than you might realise.
Hey, taxi men and women of the southeast, please let me know. Do you come into water more than most people realise?
Or even like Friday night in Dublin taxi, right? Little bit of rain, roll down the window to see where are you going.
Splash.
And we say... And not even splash, like that rain could come in and hit them in the face.
Rachel, right? I think I'm giving you the win this morning.
Thank you.
Fair play to you. Well
Do I get
done.
A prize?
No.
Oh.
You get to hear your favourite song, Sunny Federa and Jazz. It's Sunday at Beat.
Beat Breakfast.
On Beat 102, 103.
It's Beat Breakfast with Niall and Show.
Morning to you. Happy
it's
Wednesday.
It's a time of goodwill. It's a time to open your arms and embrace all, no matter who they are, even if they're a randomer, that you now call your friend.
So you mentioned Dublin there. We went to Dublin on Friday night for a big Christmas party. You gave us a lot of love and support for that last week because we were kind of nervous about going and meeting a lot of new people. But before we left the hotel that we were staying in, myself and Jessie, who works in our promotions department, got chatting to this lovely barman called John. And we were just telling John that we were going into town, and he, at this stage we were just dressed in regular clothes. And we said we're going up to, you know, get done up,
glammed up.
And John, so lovely chatting to John.
Was his name actually John? Or
yeah. No, his name is John. And we said, John, he said, what are you wearing? And we said, oh, we're wearing dresses, like, you know, Jessie's dress is white and mine was like sparkly. And he was like, I would love to see you before you go out. I'd love to see
you. Just, it's not normal for something. I really want to see your dress for you.
Yeah, he was just really interested in the outfit, and he was like, you know, can
fabulous.
You come back down? Anyway, yeah, fabulous. Yeah. So he's like, can you come back down? And I said, absolutely, John. I will do that for you. It's Christmas, absolutely, John. So anyway, I come down, and Brian and Killian are in the reception, and we have a taxi booked. Jessie's not with me; she needs a little bit longer to get ready. Totally fair. And I come down, and Killian says, "Oh, the taxi's outside." And I'm like, oh, sorry, lads, just 2 seconds. I forgot I have to show John my outfit, right?
Okay, so you had to run into the bar.
So I went in to find John. John was delighted. Like, you know, thank you so much for coming down to show me and you look beautiful. And so I said, John, I might see you later. I might not. I don't know how wild this night is going to be. And he was like, thanks. You have a great night. And so the joke of the night was, you know,
your
my
friend
new
John.
Friend, John.
Yeah.
And like, Killian was not happy with me because I had delayed the taxi.
Yeah, I totally.
Probably like, oh, you would have gone mad.
Yeah,
you would have gone mad. Him. Yeah.
I just can't understand how John was so invested in your dress. I didn't even care that much about your dress. You thought you looked fabulous, but you know.
I know.
You could have worn it. I could have worn a bin liner. I wouldn't have minded.
Well, John, I suppose he just met me and he wanted to see. It's like, don't you just love a before and after? Do you know what I mean? So, but the real point here is that when I met John in the bar, I was like, you know, just a little click, a connection, I suppose, is what you would say. And, you know. Really.
You see, the problem, this happens every time we go anywhere. Anywhere. We go for lunch. Should we go out in a night? You, oh, I've just met a new friend. And my point is, I'm not sure you can really call them a friend, can you?
I think we're all friends here.
We'll come back to that in a moment. I want to give you a bit of reaction just so you know you're not on your own on this, okay? So we got a lovely text in from Caroline. We're talking about people who are friend collectors, okay?
Okay.
And Caroline said to us that it's her sister is the guilty party. My sister is a friend collector. We go on holiday every year as a family to Tenerife, and we know that she will pick up a friend or two. We place bets on it now. Whoa.
This could be me on holidays as well.
We know that the lovely Marion is very much a friend collector and likes to make friends wherever she goes. And she has this quick little story from her birthday last week.
Okay.
Well, hello, my dear Beat Breakfast crew. You wonderful humans, you. Just so you know, on my birthday just gone, while I was in Dublin Airport and standing in that lovely queue for Ryanair, I passed out lint ball chocolates telling everyone it was my birthday. And I even got a shout out as we landed in Amsterdam. You gotta be kind.
Yeah.
And it makes all the difference.
Yeah.
And let's hear it for being kind to each other and making friends. Okay.
Oh,
lots of love, y'all.
Bye. Love you, lady. Yeah, be kind.
Nadia was on to us too.
Hey, lads. Just a little input on the friend collector. So, you are like my husband. My husband makes friends wherever he goes. All over the world now. Not just, like, you know, where we live on a night out. All over the frigging world.
Daddy's tired of it, I can sense it.
He made friends in America. Now, in fairness, he made friends in America nearly 10 years ago, and we still are friends with them, and we've visited them in America a few times. We were on holidays recently in Mexico, and he's made a whole load of new friends there. We're going away New Year's, and no doubt he's going to make more friends. Yes, my husband is a friend collector also. And like that, people tell him stuff.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
The weirdest stuff, the tell him stuff, I don't understand. But yeah, my husband is exactly the same.
Same.
You see, I think what's kind of, I suppose, obvious here is that, like, I'm happy with, like, my choice and my kind of collection that I've, but it's you and Tom that have to live with it, isn't it, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you might be out with us, but you're not really out with us because you're making friends.
I know, but I'd always introduce you, like.
See, my issue is I don't think you can call them friends. They're just people you met, okay? So I have some little rules here that I'm going to put in place. They're not your friend, okay, unless, A, you've met them at least 3 times.
No,
and they're a friend for life.
You're not shutting me down on this.
And John is not your friend.
John, I could see John again.
Could you? Okay, well, that leads me to number two. You're not their friend unless you have their phone number and your calls and texts are answered promptly.
I mean, John and I didn't exchange numbers. We didn't need to. It was a deeper connection.
Okay.
Okay, go on.
You are not friends unless they know at least the name of your partner or close people around you. Does John know that you have a husband called Tom?
No, I don't think I got the husband bit in.
Okay. He only knows the shadow of you, to be honest with
you. He knows what my dress was like on Friday night.
And finally,
yeah,
they are not really your friend unless they've seen you sing and dance and still want to be your friend.
Well, if John saw me arriving back at the hotel. So, like, a few of those boxes ticked.
Yeah, a couple of boxes ticked, you friend collector.
On Beat 102-103.
Syrup on bread and butter, lovely. Syrup on porridge. Syrup with bacon and croissants. God, you all love your syrup.
These
don't
are
you?
Maple syrup lovers, but there's none like the maple syrup lover who gets a shipment sent from Canada, the home of maple syrup. Aoife, good morning, hon.
Good morning.
Well, now you take it to a whole new level, your addiction for maple syrup. We're calling you Buddy for the rest of this interview. Buddy, when did you first discover your absolute passion for maple syrup?
So when I was in college, I got an American roommate and she had brought this maple syrup over from, like, home with her for a taste of home. And she let me try some one day and we became really good friends then from living with each other.
Mm.
So anytime I go to visit her in the States or she comes to visit me in Ireland, she brings me a jar of this. Well, I say a jar, it's a squeeze bottle of Vermont maple syrup.
Oh,
okay. Buddy, are you telling us that all these people listening right now who just get by with their Irish maple syrup are not really living at all?
We're missing out, definitely. Like, it's so nice. You know the way, like, maple syrup sometimes it's very thick and gloopy and it's hard to get it all out of that little kind of ceramic dish you get if you go out for a meal? A squeeze bottle maple syrup is, like, kind of thinner, so you get more of it, really, as well.
So should it be very thin, then?
I'm not, maybe, yeah, I assume so. This is from, like, so Vermont isn't technically Canada, it's the Canadian border, but they would have a very big, like, maple syrup industry as well. And if it's coming from there and it's thin, so I assume that's what it's meant to be like.
Facts.
And the other thing is, right, your good pal who lives over there, can't just get it normally. You have to wait for them to go skiing. Is that right?
Yes, so I suppose for her to go up to Vermont to ski for me to get it.
This and is living. This is like someone who's won the cash machine. I just get my friend to go skiing to get me the maple syrup that I like.
How much is it, Aoife?
I don't know. She's never charged me for it. Aww. She just gives it to me as a gift.
I can see why he's her friends. Anyway, she's keeping you in maple syrup for life. I'm wondering, like, how can I get this for Phil, my dad? Like, this would be a brilliant birthday present.
You need to know somebody who goes skiing in Vermont.
I know Buddy. Honestly, I love maple syrup, but I wouldn't put it on stuff other than, like, pancakes or waffles like Phil.
Are you adventurous?
Not really. Like, I would be a maple syrup traditionalist, I suppose.
Okay, all right, okay. Well, there's very different camps.
I've had it on the, like, you know, the kind of spicy buttermilk chicken, but that's been on a waffle.
Yeah,
okay. So
fair.
I suppose.
Yeah.
Well, the last one that's just come in here from Lee is suggesting that your Christmas ham should be glazed with maple syrup.
Oh, we do ours in Coke.
Okay. Oh, I've heard that. Can I just ask you before we let you go, it's been an absolute revelation here this morning and I will take your number down and I will be in touch with you to see about that shipment. But what do you make of Phil, my dad, just like bare chicken breast?
Dipping
and
a sausage
then dipping
in.
A chicken breast or a sausage into the maple. Where do you stand on that, buddy?
I mean, you know, there's been weirder things, I suppose, people have done. I would get a honey chicken out of the Chinese, so I don't suppose, like, it's not much different from having a maple chicken.
Okay. We let him off.
Thank you to our official correspondent on maple syrup this morning, Buddy the Elf from Tipperary. And have a great day and a great Christmas.
Thanks, guys.
Happy Christmas, darling boy.
Beat Breakfast with Now.
Join the home of brilliant entertainment with shows, movies and sport on
it's
Now.
It's full on party season right now, okay? Yeah. People are like throwing caution to the wind. It might still be like the last few days of work, but they might be like, do you know what? We'll meet after work.
I've just been invited to go for the afternoon to the pub today on a Wednesday.
That's what people are doing. They're all like, oh, let's go mad. See, this is, if I was mad, this is what I'd do, but I'm not. I got into bed at 7:52 last night, right? And Tom came up and he went,
smelling the chips and salt and vinegar.
Are you in bed? And I went, yes, I am in bed. And he went, what are you doing? And I went, well, I'm about to watch an episode of Gavin and Stacey. Just one. And then I'll be asleep by 8:35. Perfect.
And where do you sleep?
I was, yeah. Oh, I got 8 hours last night. Anyway, if you are a little bit mad, right, and you're thinking, oh, I'm just going to go out with the lads tonight or the girls or meet everybody after work, whatever, you might be interested to know there is a thing called a phony voice to make your excuse for calling into sick more plausible, right? So apparently 6 out of 10 people who phone in sick for work adopt this phony voice.
Is there any tips on how to, like, master the phony voice?
No, they wouldn't put that in an article, really, to be honest with you. Like, there's no need to ask that. I was just going to demonstrate what I think it is, right? So basically, like, you might be going out tonight and then you wake up tomorrow and you're like, oh geez, I can't really face it. So, but you have to be convincing. You can't send a text message or an email.
Not anymore, no. It's not acceptable.
So you have to ring the boss and you have to say you're sick, right? So give me an illness. What's wrong with me? Like, have I a dose? What do you think I have? Or because it would affect the voice. Like, I'll do two for you, right?
Yeah.
So I'll do, like, you know, head cold kind of where we go.
So you get the bunged up one, right?
Yeah.
You can barely speak and you'd be. And then the other variation is probably the something's gone on inside
in the tummy. Right, yeah. We'll start with the dose. And everyone's going around with a bit of a dose. So very believable you've got a dose at the moment. I had a dose a few weeks ago. Everyone's got a dose. So this is the dose, right? So I ring you and I go, you're my boss, right? Mm. You're not my boss. You're not in charge of me. But for the sake of this, are you my boss?
Well, I'm kind of a line manager.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. You're my boss. Great. Okay. So I go pick up the phone and.
And I go, hello, show.
Hi, Niall. How are you?
God, you don't sound great, show.
I know, Niall. I just woke up with God, it's just all. There's a lot of mucus.
I'd say if you had a Lemsip and you could be on your way to work then.
I know, Niall. You know yourself. It's the voice, and the voice is not there. And the voice.
Well, we could just put you on desk work today and keep you off air.
I wouldn't like to do any harm to anybody else. I wouldn't like anyone else to get a dose before Christmas. Okay, so that's your dose.
Sound like a dirty old man.
But if you're going with the other one, you say that's more tricky to navigate.
It is.
But it's also, it's harder to argue with. Do
exactly,
you know what I mean?
Okay. Exactly, yeah. But what helps with that one maybe is if you hadn't slept because you were kept awake.
Okay, good. So that's a good kind of character note.
Then you can be a bit, oh, I don't know where I am.
Yeah, okay. So.
Hi, show, how are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you? Not a great night, to be honest with you.
What's wrong?
Oh, just I was on the loo all night, and just and then it was both ends.
Oh,
Niall, to be honest,
okay,
with you.
Way too much information.
Yeah, you're so probably, I'm just better to stay by the ensuite, if I'm honest with you, because you know the toilet and work would be too far away. But I'll probably be back tomorrow. I'd say it's only a 24-hour
thing. Yeah.
Sorry about that. I don't like to let the team down, but you know yourself when it's both ends.
But you know, it's like 3-4 days to the Christmas holidays. Everyone is up to 90. Show.
I know.
Nobody's going to be able to absorb your work this week.
It's not ideal. No, nobody's happy here. Nobody's a winner. I'm sorry. The ensuite is calling. I'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, show. You're so good at this. Niall, this is your acting background.
I have never called in sick in my entire life. Honestly.
Would you
believe that?
Yeah.
The second one is, if I was picking one, yeah, I'd go with the second one.
10 out of 10. 10 out of 10.
I woke up this morning. Beat Breakfast on Beat 102, 103.
So, I presume that most of us at this stage are like, maybe you're planning in the next couple of days to indulge in the classic that is Home Alone. Like, I've done it a few times. Have you, Niall? How many times have you been Home Alone this Christmas?
I think I've done number one twice and number two once so far this season.
Okay, there we go. So I wanted to chat to you about one of the kind of, I suppose, like smaller parts in it, but by no means like, I suppose, still a pivotal actor, you know, in terms of the overall Home Alone 1. And I'm talking about John Candy.
Legend.
Yeah, he is a legend. He's been in so many like famous movies. Obviously, you know, Macaulay Culkin is the big guy. Kevin McAllister is the lead character. Catherine O'Hara is massive in it. Joe Pesci, Daniel Stern as the thieves. Why are you laughing?
Pesci.
Joe Pesci.
Pesci, isn't it?
No, it's Pesci.
He's Italian.
Joe Pesci.
Joe Pesci.
Anyway, the actor John Candy's fee for Home Alone 1 has been revealed, right? Okay. Now, let's just bear in mind, this movie, why do you, everything I say, you're just laughing at
no,
me for?
No, I want people to know the moment when you realise this. Whoa! Oh my God!
Well, I get overly excited quite easily. But anyway, Home Alone took in $476 million at the box office, right? It only had a budget of $18 million. We're talking dollars here, right? So now it's been revealed what John Candy got paid to appear in Home Alone.
Are you ready to whoa? Are you Why ready to go, God?
In the airport, Kate O'Hara's character meets this guy called Gus Polinski, and he's the lead member of a travelling band which is on its way to Milwaukee. You know the story, right? Mm. He plays a big role. He's there with his flute and everything, and he brings her on the back of the bus, and, you know, it's like, it's a memorable character. He got paid $414, which is £325, for his appearance in Home Alone. I mean, come on. He deserved a lot more than $414.
It is really strange. You know, I know they didn't know that this movie was going to be huge and all the rest. And I was wondering, was there some... I'm just reading some of the quotes. It said there was a lot of resentment on his part. It was a deal between him and John Hughes at the time. And he was given out about it afterwards. But like, there must have been a few days filming there, you know, at least.
$414. I'm annoyed on his behalf. Mm. He definitely deserved more than that. I don't know what Macaulay Culkin got for it.
He didn't get as... Like, he got an amount. It was the second one where everyone made their money, you know?
Yeah, but the movie took in $476 million at the box office. And yeah. John Candy, $414. That's it. Is anybody else...
Whoa!
Is anybody else shook at this news this morning? Absolutely shook. And then I asked Niall, like, what's the most random thing you've ever got paid? Because years ago... Now, look, they do say that he wasn't a household name when he appeared in Home
Alone. Yeah, but he had done...
He'd done Planes, Trains and Automobiles, and he'd done Cool Runnings.
I know. And Planes, Trains and Automobiles is one of my favourite movies.
I only watched it last year for the first time. But, like, it wasn't as... Okay, maybe he wasn't as famous as, like, Catherine O'Hara or Joe Pesci. But, like, he was still... Pesky. But he was still famous. Anyway, years ago, I did this fashion show. And I was really happy at the time. I got paid at a scented candle.
A scented candle? Yeah. Yeah. You love scented candles.
I love times, so I was really grateful. I'm not bitter. Yeah. I'm fine.
Yeah. When I was a kid, well, I wasn't a kid. We were probably 10 or 11. And a friend's mum asked us to go pick loads of blackberries so that she could make blackberry tarts or whatever you do with bloody blackberries.
I love blackberry tarts.
We spent 2 or 3 hours and picking away. And we brought a big bags full of blackberries, and I thought, oh, we'll definitely get a couple of quid now to go to the shop and buy sweets. And we were handed one little, like from a multi-pack, little bag of, like, I think they were ready salted crisps.
Your least favourite.
My least favourite. And that was it. That was our prize, for hours of picking. I'm still angry over
like
it.
Like a full day.
Well, no, it was an afternoon. It says at least 2 to 3 hours.
Sorry, just back to John Candy. Right?
Yeah, $414.
And you said it was probably multiple days. It was actually only one day, right? Oh. But the thing about it is, what he did was, according to Chris Columbus, the director of the movie, he did an awful lot of improvisation, none of which was in the script. $414,
everybody.
No wonder he's bitter.
He's not with us anymore, so he probably is bitter, you know. He died a couple of years later.
He's not here.
No, sorry. Oh God, this is a double whammy.
Did he?
Yeah, he died.
He's gone?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
no.
It's really sad.
That is really sad.
Okay, pick the mood back up here. Wake up,
Niall and Show on Beat Breakfast.
Wake up with your mates.
You get a topic, a theme.
Okay.
Could be certain types of songs, or we had Christmas carols last week.
Yeah.
You're given 5 options, and you have to put them in order from 1 to 5.
Ooh.
But you can't revise your choices.
Okay.
So when you hear the first song, you've got to make a call. Is that number one? Is it number 5? And right. It's locked in then.
Okay.
So don't ruin all your big choices and then a great one comes later.
This is not a test though, darling.
No,
right. Like, this is
there's
not,
no
there's no like,
but
you know.
But the Southeast will judge you if you get
no,
the order
they
wrong.
No, they won't. No, I don't feel like I've been judged on mine and I've made some mistakes.
I judge you all the time.
you judge me for everything.
I remember you doing this because you were delighted that you had Celine Dion number one. Yeah.
Mm. Exactly, girl. Yeah. That was a good week.
Yeah,
that was when it went well.
Yeah. So basically we have our wheel here and there's a few different options for teams. So if you just let me give you the options first.
Okay.
The options this week are cheesiest Christmas songs, X Factor winning songs, Christmas movies, interesting, and noughties ballads. Okay, so there's some good options.
Lovely.
So stand back there. I don't want you to get a whack of the wheel there, Aoife.
Okay, Aoife, this is your go. What are you going to get? So exciting.
I feel like I'm on winning streak.
It's the cheesiest Christmas songs.
Oh lovely.
Okay, so we're going to go 5 of them. I'm going to start right now. Here's song number 1. Where are you going to place this? Let me know if you need, do you need a pen and paper?
Bit of Cliff, yeah. Cliff Richard?
Yeah, Cliff.
Yeah, yeah. Actually,
so it's 1, 2, 3, 4 or 5. One being the best.
Okay. It's cheesy.
Yeah, it is.
Very cheesy.
I got to go 3.
3?
Okay.
Cliff.
Yeah,
in at number 3. Safe option always.
Yeah,
three,
yeah, yeah.
The
start.
UK Daniel O'Donnell, yeah?
Yes,
yeah, kinda.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. Okay, song number 2. Here we go.
Step into Christmas. Step into Christmas.
Caption on Instagram.
You did, yeah, it was very good.
I said, stepped into Christmas.
It took her all day Saturday to work that one out.
I love this.
Okay,
what do you
think? We're going to go.
Yeah, Elton John.
I'm actually going to go 4 because
ooh.
I love it, right?
Mm.
I love it.
Mm.
But I have such faith, okay, not faith, but respect for Elton John that I wouldn't want to call him cheesy. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He is like an amazing artist. So
yeah, you're right.
Cheesy would be doing him a disservice.
Okay.
All Christmas songs by their nature are actually quite cheesy,
even
with the credible artists. Okay,
yeah.
Okay, 3 and 4, right.
Okay.
We're up to our 3rd song now.
Welcome to the show, Aoife. You have brought Jeopardy this morning. I really feel like she's understood the assignment.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe.
Okay, so you've got 1, 2 and 5 left on your blind rankings.
Okay.
Here's song number 3.
Hey, ting-a-ding-ding. It's Dominic the Donkey. Ting-a-ding-ding.
Oh, what a legend.
That is going to be a tough one.
Did you know that 2 years ago or 3 years ago, Niall and I dressed up in a donkey?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I actually took
a picture with the head on.
Yeah.
I was the arse. So, okay. Lou Monte, Dominic the Donkey,
really
1, 2 or 5.
Yeah.
How much cheesier could you get?
It's so cheesy, isn't it?
Okay, I'm going to go number 2.
Number 2.
Ooh, okay,
Dominic.
It's up there. Like cheesiness.
Yeah.
Okay, next up, not overly Christmassy, but a Christmas hit for a pop band. It's S Club. This is where the Jeopardy comes in. Because you have number 1 and you have number 5 left.
Can I just say, right?
Mm.
This came out when I was a child.
Yeah.
The music video to this, oh my god, the it was snow. Everything I wanted in my life. Yeah. Those furry boots,
the coats.
I always wondered why were they not cold. You know, the yeah. tan legs, the furry
tan.
Boots, you know, like the silver, like eyeshadow.
They weren't cold because they were probably in a very hot studio as opposed to the actual Swiss mountains.
In London.
Yeah. That's honestly one of my favourite, I would say, kind of Christmas songs that's like, you know, inadvertently Christmas.
It's one of those music videos that I know exactly what she means. They were all very bronze. They look like they'd come back from 2 weeks in Tenerife and then they were on the set of a Christmas. Oh, beautiful, stunning.
Do you know what? I don't mind putting that number five because, again, right?
Respect.
Respect.
Yeah.
Respect.
Yeah,
like, yeah, it's not that cheesy in my view.
Yeah, respect.
I really hope the number one is what I think it's going to be.
Okay.
Okay, number one
well,
then.
Well, can she say what she thinks it's
going to
be?
What do you think it is?
Okay. Cheesy, brilliant, amazing music video. My favourite Christmas song of all time. Oh, Wham, Last Christmas.
No. Oh, God, no.
Please, no.
That, I would consider that one of the more credible Christmas songs.
Oh, no, Niall.
What?
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart.
The table from each other.
That's one of the cheesiest Christmas.
No,
Niall.
There's a big, important documentary on it this week. It's very... Okay. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. It's not that. Okay. Your final song, and therefore, by definition, your number one ultimate cheesy Christmas song is this. Snow.
Okay.
That's why.
You nailed that.
Having fun. That was
season.
A good first blank blank and season.
Love that, darling.
Now, it shows go next, but hang on with us for the journey. And we'll find out what she gets on the wheel.
On Beat 102, 103.
Rankings, round two. It shows go. Let's see what she gets.
And you've given me your pen and paper. The spirit of Christmas is truly alive. What am I going to get?
Interesting. It's Christmas movies. We don't normally do movies on this.
Well, I am a bit of an expert.
You are.
Lads, now, I've run out of cheesy Hallmark movies online.
I can give you a few tips because there's a few have appeared on other streamers like the RTE app and the Channel 4 app have a few.
Oh, thanks, babe.
Yeah, no bother. We'll go through them later. Right, okay. It's five Christmas movies. You've got to put them in order. I think this is actually really hard. I think this is harder than music, okay?
Okay.
So here is movie number one. Go for it.
Okay, people. Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh my God!
I know him.
Okay, so talk to me. Where are you going to place Elf? I mean, it is absolutely one of the modern classics. It's loved by all. You've watched it probably, four times already this Christmas season. Where are you placing it?
This is really hard.
It is.
This is why you're doing this to me.
Buddy
is like the best, but I, as much
Don't go over an average three now on Elf.
Let the woman speak. I'm going to go number two.
Two. Like, Elf in at number
because
two.
Because I have hope in my heart. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, Elf is going in at number two.
I think that's a good rank.
Okay, thank you.
Here's your second movie, Christmas movie you need to rank.
Who are you then? You have lost.
It won't be on your list. For a
security guard.
What is this?
Sorry, wrong guess, huh?
Is this Die Hard?
Yeah.
This is not a Christmas movie.
Nah, don't even start that.
Oh, lads, you know I haven't seen Die Hard.
I haven't either. No.
Ah, come on.
Thanks, Aoife.
Girls. Girls.
What? No, it's not like I get such a slagging for movies that I haven't watched. There's no like morsel of me that wants to watch this.
There's a little bit of a love story in there.
Oh, is there?
Oh,
okay, well,
who's the love interest?
Well, his missus, who he's not getting on with, and then anyway. Where are you putting this?
Is there a number six? I'm putting it at number five.
Now, bear in mind, think of the, you know, like this is seen as probably one of the biggest Christmas.
Well, there's still an argument every year as well as Christmas movie. Aoife, I count it as Christmas.
Niall and I live in like relative harmony, I suppose. But at Christmas, there is one thing that is a massive bone of contention, and that is The Holiday, the movie. With Cameron Diaz and Kate Winslet, and he categorically does not think that The Holiday is a Christmas movie, even though it's on every Christmas list.
And it's called The Holiday.
Thank you, girl.
It's just a rom-com with a Christmas tree.
Oh, God.
Where's Die Hard going?
Die Hard is number five.
Oh, of course it is, yeah. Okay, here we go. Movie number three.
Would you like it gift-wrapped?
Oh,
yes,
oh, jeez.
Lovely.
Look, could we be quite quick?
Ready in the flashiest of flashes.
One of my favourite
things. Actually, I don't need a bag. I'll just put it in my pocket.
No, this isn't a bag, sir. This is so much
more than a bag.
Oh,
I love it.
It's Love Actually, of course.
I haven't done this year.
Haven't you?
No.
Are you saving that for Christmas?
Sometimes there's certain movies things you can keep for close to Christmas. Love Actually is one, and the other one that she says I haven't seen, Muppet Christmas Carol, is a Christmas Eve movie. Yeah.
I haven't watched this year, but I did make the horrendous mistake about 2 years ago of putting I love to have something on in the background when there's a present opening on Christmas morning. Made the mistake of putting this one on. Forgot that one scene. You know that one scene? Like, there's only actually one scene that's
really
not.
Really questionable, what would you call it? Storyline.
Yes.
It's a very odd. Why is it in
it? I've read articles about that storyline where people question it in general because it doesn't really fit. You know what I'm talking about?
Stacey and her bats.
Yeah. I unfortunately have to put the holiday at number three.
That's not the holiday. It's called Love Actually.
Love Actually at number three. Okay. I mean, I'm not giving it number one because I don't think it's the ultimate in Christmas movies. I think it's beautiful.
I think Hugh Grant saying Love Actually is all around.
All around.
It's probably one of the best lines in history.
And that's that airport scene.
It's a very
scene.
Problematic movie nowadays, though.
Yeah.
So
and how
many
the women are treated.
So many
throughout
issues.
It.
And that moment. Sorry to like keep going here, but like that moment with Emma Thompson where she fixes the bed, and she realizes he has cheated on her.
She should have murdered him.
That's the reason I listen to Joni Mitchell.
That Joni Mitchell song is one of the most beautiful songs in the entire world. And that moment, every single time, floors us all. Do you know what I mean? Doesn't matter how many times you watch.
And
it.
That, ladies and gentlemen, was my TED talk on Love Actually. Can I move on?
You can.
I'm
my
Colin,
darling.
One. I'm Colin.
One and four left with two movies to go. Okay. Here's your fourth movie. Have
yourself. I've a terrible feeling. Christmas. Did you lock up?
Yourself be light.
Do we set the timers on the lights?
Mm-hmm. From what else could we be forgetting?
Our troubles will be ours.
Kevin!
Home Alone.
It's number one. I mean, Home Alone for me, one of the first movies I ever saw in the cinema. I just think it has aged. Number two is quite violent. I did watch it the other night.
They're both quite violent, but it's comedy violence.
Yeah, comedy violence.
Kids are allowed to watch
it. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm 100% happy with my decision. Home Alone is the greatest Christmas movie of all time.
Okay, here's song number five, or movie number five.
Where do I want to go by myself, depressed at Christmas?
Home exchange. We everything.
Bingo.
Oh my God, I want to hug you.
Are there any men in your town?
Are there any men in your team?
Number four.
Have you, Noel Power, softened in 2024? Have you actually put this into a compilation of Christmas movies, meaning that this is, I suppose, an admission that it is?
I don't have to agree with this necessarily. It's just look through Christmas movies that you would struggle to rate, like The Holiday number four, only number four on your list.
Yeah. Can I give you my top five?
Go on.
Five, Die Hard. Never seen it, never will. Number four, The Holiday. Number three, Love Actually. Yeah. Number two, Elf. And number one, Home Alone.
That's a pretty damn good list, isn't it?
If anybody would like that list, I'm here, I'm available.
We'll get our digital team to do a graphic for a show's ultimate Christmas movie list.
And then do a second graphic of all the worst movies I've watched, like Catering Christmas, A Brush with Christmas, Twas the Text Before Christmas.
No,
Thank you, Eva.
Woke up this morning. Woke up this morning.
Wake up with your mates.
Niall and Show on Beat Breakfast.
Typically, you do one little extra job, one little extracurricular activity.
I had to say to everyone in the canteen, will everyone please get their cups and coffee or tea first before I empty the burka into her hot water bottle.
I'm doing Show's hot water bottle. We'll hear it all day. There'll probably be an all at before the day's
out. There's a company teams today and I hope it's announced and some credit given to me.
There's loads of people in the building that have hot water bottles.
Yeah. Anyway, speaking of Christmas, right, okay, here's a weird one for you. And I'd like to know if you have any strong feelings on this. A huge row has broken out online over what you do with your advent calendar. Now, I know a lot of people have their calendars, chocolate, cheese, perfumes. You do all different types of things
slime,
now.
Slime, Eve has slime.
Does she?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
A different slime every day.
As you know, each day you open your little slot and you take what's out. But what happens next? Because one poster online said they had a heated argument with their partner that morning about what you do once you've opened the numbered door each day.
I really think if you're having a heated argument with your partner over a flap on an advent calendar, then there's something wrong.
Said flap. She said, I've always shut the doors afterwards so it doesn't ruin the overall picture.
Okay,
you get what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And it looks nice, but my partner said that was weird. And so the 29-year-old asked people online, what do you do? Leave it open, shut it, or tear it off?
Oh, well, I leave it open.
Yeah.
I don't really... It doesn't bother me.
It looks
me.
Untidy though, doesn't it?
The other reason I leave it open is I find those things so confusing. So like to see your number. Oh. So if I close it...
I hate then, having to find like the nine.
Yeah, so if I close it, then potentially I could be opening it again and that's when it's gone and I'm wasting my time and I don't have time. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I never really thought about the aesthetic, the look of an advent calendar as to what it would mean if
well,
we left
there's
the
a lot of agreement with this. One person said, I'm with you. I want the picture to look nice, so I close them. Another says, I carefully shut them. My wife closes her. And other people said, no, before the age of the advent calendars, the windows open to show pictures behind. When you opened it, there used to be a picture inside
that's
too.
That's so right. But we don't have that anymore. No, most of them don't anyway. It's just like, just a chocolate.
So I don't know where you stand on this important Christmas issue. I'm like you, I will just leave them open because then it's easier to find the ones that are closed that you know, in future days.
Yeah, and it's also like a signal to the countdown. You know, if the flaps are open, it's like... if they're open, then you can tell.
Just call them doors, show. Okay, it's easier.
That's what they are.
No, they're doors. They're doors. They're not flaps. Right,
I'm
really being defiant on this.
Right, well, I googled it. Everything.
She's googled
the meaning of the word.
Which word?
I don't want to say it again. It something that is broad, limber, or flat, and usually thin, and that hangs loose on projects freely. A garment, a part of a book
hangs
jacket,
loosely on
a piece of tissue partly severed from its place of origin, an extended part forming the closure. Flap.
Well, Phil was onto us.
Sorry now, Shaw. But no, definitely not flaps. Like, you wouldn't open your flaps 24 days in a month. Doors, Shaw.
Doors.
Doors.
Doors. The doors on your advent calendar, okay? The doors.
Beat Breakfast with Now.
Join the home of brilliant entertainment with shows, movies and sport on Now.